The World Show with Nikki B.
Right now, I'm in the studio with a sister that I've been trying to connect with for a couple of years. So I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to The World Show, Tutu Powani.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Sis Nikki. And I'm glad to finally be on your show.
Me too. We tried to connect when I was in Paris and there was paper issues. And
yes,
you were doing an amazing thing, but I think we'll talk about that in a moment.
Great.
So Tutu, because it's the first time with us on The World Show, I want to start at the very beginning. Where you come from, and how, where did the music start?
Well, I was born in Attridgeville and raised in Mamelodi. So if you're born in those two townships, there's no way that jazz is going to escape you.
Absolutely.
Like, like jazz is right there from the get-go, from the womb. You hear it from the womb.
Yes.
So I would like to believe that that's basically where my love for the music started. And of course, you know, growing up as a black child in South Africa, music is such a part of our lives. You know, you learn to harmonize in church.
Yes.
You know, you take part in like school choirs, you know. So, yeah, it was a normal upbringing like most black South Africans in this country.
Yes. It's not like you came from a specifically musical family.
Well, yes and no.
Yes.
My family was is very musical. My grandfather used to play piano. He was a pianist.
Yes.
And one of his brothers was a tap dancer. So yes, the family was, had a lot of artists in the family.
Yes.
Not necessarily, that they did art as a living. It's just something that they did on their spare time and that they loved to do.
And it was part of life.
It was part of life.
Yes.
Just like I say, just like many of us in this country, music is just a part of our daily life, you know.
Yes. And so when was the point that you discovered, well, obviously, you, as you say, you just grew up singing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But when was the point when you discovered, hang on, this is something that's calling me. I can't avoid this.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I have one moment that I really remember. I was about 11 years old in boarding school in up north in Limpopo, in a little village called Jane First. There was a boarding school there called St. Mark's.
Yes.
And I was in St. Mark's for 2 years. And I would sing. I would sing at the morning assembly. This one lady who was a teacher there started teaching me piano. And then she discovered that I could sing. So she started teaching me all these songs and then I would sing. And, you know, like some on the weekends, we had these like variety nights where people could dance and sing and stuff. And I would always sing with a backing track, you know.
Yes.
But then I would sing louder than the backing track. And like the older students were always telling the guy in the back who was controlling the mix, the DJ box, and telling him like, bring that down so we can hear her.
Yes.
It was those early years that I realized like, well, people want to hear my voice.
Yes.
And that's where really the spark was lit, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after school, you went on to study.
Yes, yes. After school, I went to Four Ways High School.
Yes.
Which was not the best years of my life.
Yes.
The only thing I got out of high school are my friends.
Yes.
I've got like incredible group of friends that I just spend the afternoon with actually just now. So shout out to my friends. You know who you are.
Yes.
And after that, I had this deal with my mother that you finish high school and after that you can go and do whatever you want.
Yes.
So she was very supportive. I went to FUBA in Newtown for a year. Just to get some music theory background and stuff. And
I'm so pleased you mentioned that. It's been a long time I've thought about FUBA. And
yes.
What amazing institutions, places like FUBA and Funda.
Mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
Funda's trying to revive, but they really, so many of our greats.
Yes. Yes.
Actually,
we all came
from there.
Those schools.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A great teacher there, Mr. Jeff Mapaya, who was a guitar player.
Yes. He's now, I think, heading the department in Venda at the university.
Yes, that's true. It was via Jeff, actually, that I realized that you can go to university and study music and get a degree and never mind become a performer, but that there are other things around the music business that you can do.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was through Jeff's guidance and teaching and help. He actually came to my house and sat down with my mother.
Amazing.
You know,
he saw something special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he encouraged me to, and encouraged my mother to let me go to Cape Town to audition. And I auditioned and I got in and the rest is
history.
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
And now, So after studying, you decided, at what point did you decide, now I want to work on my album? Tell us about this and tell us about your first album.
Yo, my first album, there were so many people that I admired in Europe who actually told me that I wasn't ready, you know?
Yes.
And I just felt like I'm never gonna be ready. You know, music is not something, I believe that art in general, it's not like you go to school and you get a certificate and then you say, now with my certificate, I can go and get gigs.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that.
Definitely not.
It's an ongoing learning process. You keep, growing as you grow, you know? So I wasn't ready, but I decided I'm never going to be ready. So if I'm going to wait until I'm ready, it's never going to be done.
Yes.
So I decided, let's do the album. I had music, I had musicians, I had arrangements, and I made my first album in 2007.
Yes.
The year my daughter was born, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just did it because, you know, I just wanted to document that period of my life musically where I was. And for me, that's what it's all about, actually. You know, it's just about archiving the growth. And you can hear that my previous album, the music that I'm making now and the music that I made then are completely different. There has been a growth.
Yes.
There has been some changes. So
there's definitely been a growth, but you know, one thing that I often find working with music is, although I watch a musician and their technical skills grow and their prowess and their expression and everything, there's still always something very beautiful about the early work.
Yeah.
You know, although you can see the mastery in the later work.
Yeah.
It's also, there's almost that innocence that one loves from the early work.
Yeah.
So it's never to say that only the later albums are valid.
Yes. No, sometimes your first album can be your best work.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It often takes me years to listen to myself.
Yes.
I can't stand to listen to myself. Like,
yes,
in the
at
moment,
the time.
Yeah,
yes.
At the time, I cannot do it.
Yes.
But now I can enjoy my first album.
Yeah. Yes.
And enjoy the mistakes that I still hear and enjoy the ideas that I still have that, oof, I could have phrased that better. Or,
yes.
You know,
yes.
It doesn't make me cringe anymore.
Yes.
Actually.
You almost embrace it for the time and stage that it came out.
Right. Right.
So now I think, was it your second album, Quiet Now?
Yes.
So Quiet Now, and I think Quiet Now was an album that kind of put you on the map.
I guess
in many ways. Yes.
I guess so.
That's when people started saying, ooh, who is Tutu Poane?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Quiet Now won a Summer Award.
Yes.
So that was interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. And, my hit, my one hit comes from Quiet Now.
Yes.
So yeah, people love that song. So yeah, it's
in
great.
Fact, somebody yesterday when I wrote on Facebook that you are coming, they said, please, you have to play Mpo.
Mm-hmm.
And as Billy Manama was walking out of the door, he said, you've got to play Mpo. So let's play Mpo.
Let's
but
do
tell
that.
Me about Mpo and the inspiration behind it.
Yeah. Well, it was written by my husband, who is Mpo's father, Ewad Piero. a great piano player, great composer. And I just loved the song so much. And in the beginning, it actually didn't have the melody that I sing, but I just loved it so much. And I started playing around with it in my head, just singing it for myself.
Yes.
And then I started to hear this melody, but I couldn't get a lyric. For the life of me, I couldn't get a lyric down. And I was pregnant with Mpo, and I felt like, why is this so hard? This is about my child whom I am carrying. And then I thought, I'm going to wait until Mpo is born. I'm going to meet her. I'm going to see what she's about. And then I will have a lyric. And then Mpo was born and still I couldn't find a lyric.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer in collaborating with other artists.
Yes.
So I went to the great Neo Muyanga.
Yes.
And I said, Neo, do you have children? And he said, no, I don't have children, but I have a lot of children around me.
Yes.
You know, not his own kids, but like
children by proxy.
Exactly. Yes. And I said, listen, I have this melody, but I cannot for the life of me write a tune about my own kid. And he wrote me this beautiful poem in Sesotho. And I read it one time and I just sang his words on top of the tune. And that's basically how the song, the melody and the words came about. It was, thanks. I mean, I had the English part.
Yes.
I had the, you know, I sing for love, I sing for light. I had that part.
Yes.
But the part before, I was struggling with it so much, and Naomi Younger came to the rescue with
and pulled it all together with
and
that.
Pulled it off together nicely.
Beautiful. Tutu Powani, and I think there's too many people listening to the World Show wouldn't forgive me if I didn't play Impo. Coming off Tutu's album, Quiet Now, you're listening to the World Show. Kaya 959. How absolutely beautiful. I can see that why Tutu, why that is one of those songs that people love and that you've carried with you.
Yeah.
You know, never mind the fact it's about your daughter, which I think is reason enough to always love it, but such an incredible song.
Thank you.
And, really an album that means a lot. And in fact, it seems to me that this album, Quiet Now, was not only the album that put you kind of, that made people say, who is this Tutu Powani? Mm. But it's also an album that's remained close to your heart.
Yeah.
Even though it was what, 20, when did it come out? 29? 2009, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you never think, you never know when you're working and you're in the studio, you never know what people are going to resonate with. I mean, I, not being a pop musician, I never thought that I would have so-called a hit in inverted commas, you know. But this song in South Africa, has kind of become, I mean, for the people, for the people that know who I am, which is a handful of people, you know, people keep requesting this song, you know. And it's such an incredible feeling to play it at home with people that understand the language.
Yes.
People that sing along word for word.
Yes.
It's the most amazing feeling
ever. And I suppose that even singing along to the instrumental parts of it.
Oh, for sure. Yes. For sure. No, only in South Africa.
Only in South Africa, yes. And talking about that, now you are based in Belgium. Mm-hmm. And you've been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
What was that transition? Why did you decide to go and settle in Europe, or how did it happen?
Well, the plan was to go to study in Holland for a year. I got a scholarship from Jack van Paul. He basically created a scholarship out of his own pocket for me to go study in The Hague for 1 year. And that was the deal.
Yes.
Go to Holland for 1 year and come back home.
When was this, Tutu?
This was in 2002.
Yes.
So I left for school in September of 2002.
Yes.
And
So it was like almost as you'd finished in Cape Town.
So I did that, and life happened when I was in Holland. You know, I met people, and Chantal Willy, who was a singer, also studied. She was also studying in Antwerp at the time, also with a scholarship from Jacques van Paul.
Yes.
So Chantal, I was in The Hague, and Chantal was in Antwerp.
Yes.
And Chantal had a band in Antwerp. And, you know, she was writing music for her band and doing stuff. And she started learning to play the bass, and she became incredibly good at the bass.
Yes.
That she was hired by Zap Mama. So she would travel around the world, but when she was traveling, she had little gigs in Belgium with her band.
Yes.
And she would call me and say, listen, I have these two gigs. Can you come and fill in for me while I'm traveling the world with Zap Mama? And I said, cool. So I went to Belgium for a rehearsal, and I met this young piano player, and I basically never left. That's the short version of the story. I went to Belgium for a rehearsal, and I never left.
Yes.
But, I mean, me and Ewart, we hit it off musically, and we spent one afternoon together, and there was no sparks or anything like that, you know. It was just purely the music.
A musical connection.
Very much so.
Yes.
And then I did this couple of gigs with them, and we stayed in touch. And I didn't have enough money to continue studying in Holland. And he was like, why don't you just move to Belgium and see what happens?
Yes.
And it's been almost 20 years now.
Yes. And now you live in Europe, basically.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Do you find, because I'm sure, you know, in my experience as a jazz musician, as a musician, but as a jazz musician as well, do you find that there've been benefits to the fact that you've been living in Europe.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. I like back in the beginning of my career when I had just left, it was extremely difficult for me to organize gigs for myself here at home.
Yes.
But after years of living in Belgium, somehow people respond to me with a little bit more with respect, actually.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I'm able to organize, my own gigs, without too much of a hassle.
Yes.
It used to be a pain, 10 years ago.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Oh, there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, here, organizing gigs here.
And also you find here, like you'll play at, let me say, the Joy of Jazz this year.
Mm.
And then there's nothing until Cape Town happens, and then they'll say, no, yeah, she played at Joy of Jazz, so we'll wait till the year afterwards.
Oh, but that's what happens also in Europe, you know,
yes,
that happens over
but
there.
But don't
too.
You find it easier because the countries are so close together and there's, you know, good transport that links you.
Yeah.
So,
that definitely helps.
Yes.
That most definitely
so
helps.
So you could be in Holland this
exactly.
week.
Exactly. You can, I drive.
Italy next week. Yes.
Exactly. You just drive to Holland.
Yes.
You play a gig there and you drive back home. You know? And you know, Paris is a 1 hour train ride away.
Yes.
You know, even then you can go and do a gig in the afternoon and be back home in the evening.
Yes.
So yeah, that has been, that helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that also in recent years, you've become more and more involved in theater.
Yes.
And even in your role as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about some of the productions. In fact, when we chatted when I was in France.
Yeah.
And you had invited me and I was so sad that I couldn't make it. Because I didn't have my papers at that time.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then you were working on the Winnie production.
Yes. Yes. I thought when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be an actor. That's what I wanted to do. Yes.
Okay.
And then when I went to university, I thought, oh, great, I can do singing and acting at the same time. But no, it doesn't work that way.
Yes.
It could have, you know.
Yes.
We just don't have those kinds of schools in South Africa where you can, you know, like the world has art high schools.
Yes.
Where you, well, there is one here, right? The Johannesburg School of the Arts.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes.
Where you can
but
go.
But even there, I think the students tend to focus
on one thing.
On one thing, yes.
Yeah. Well, I had this naive idea that I was going to study music and acting at the same time. And it was in Cape Town, it was also physically impossible because the drama school was in Gardens and the music school was in Rondebosch.
Yes.
And not having a car, that just would not have been possible at all.
Yes.
So my love for the last time I acted, I was 12 years old, you know, but I still had that urge, that need, that the bug was still inside of me that I want to act one day. And not necessarily for TV. I really want to act on stage.
Theater.
Yeah. Because, I remember my mother took me to the Market Theater when I was small and I remember watching Bopper and I never forget. I almost had a little moment when I was playing at the Market Theater that, wow, I saw Bopper years ago in this space. So
in fact,
I've always,
just to divert, we just spoke about that while the song was playing.
Yeah.
You performed there last night with Marcus Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so special. Thank you to everybody who was there this weekend. You made it really, really special.
Yes.
That's a really special place. That's, ticked one of my box
your,
there.
Like, your bucket.
My bucket list has been ticked off there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been extremely fortunate to live in Belgium, you know, to live in a place where, you know, it is still possible for a 40 plus year old black woman to start a new career, you know?
Yes.
So I feel like that. I feel
and
like.
Actually, not just to start a new career, but to be recognized for your mastery.
Yes.
You know, very often in this country, there's that sense of, oh, she's a has-been because she's in her 40s now.
Right, right.
Whereas there, it's, oh no, she is now a master.
Yeah, I was asked to be in this production because of what I do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that has been an incredible blessing. And I was so blessed to work with a director who is incredibly kind and just, you know, teaching me and the girls in the play, teaching us the ropes, helping us develop our characters and helping us become actors at our ripe old age, you know. So I'm very, very fortunate. And I'm going to start another production now in September. We're going to start rehearsals in another production. So yeah, I'm getting my, my acting muscles, training them right now.
And again, a great inspiration for so many of us is never think it's too late to live.
Absolutely.
Those aspects. You've lived your dream in music. I'm sure you still are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's never too late to live another dream.
Yes, yes. My dream is to come back to the Market Theatre and act on that stage.
Oh, amazing. Yes. And now when you're working with, in theatre, like with these productions, is it purely you are doing songs that are written, or do you also work collaboratively and have some leeway in terms of your songwriting skills?
Well, for this particular production called Dear Winnie, it was, you know, it's kind of like, what does Dear Winnie mean to us today? So the songs in the show are mainly songs that already existed from South Africa, you know, our struggle songs. But there was also space for improvisation. The music is made by this incredible human being who created instruments from scratch. He created these giant, he made like this giant harp. It looks like a harp, but it's just this giant piece of thing with strings. And he created these amazing looking things where I get to play around with them and make music with them.
So, and explore these new instruments.
Explore these new sounds, these new instruments. So yeah, it's been, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of like exploring with these amazing instruments and making music with them, making something different every night with them, which is something that I really enjoy. Which,
and also brings your musicianship into your acting.
So it's been a combination of that and struggle songs from home that we all know.
But now, out of interest, something like this, Dear Winnie, the other actors, are they South Africans? Are these Europeans? Or what is it? And yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only South African in the play, but there is, there was nine of us. There was nine black women. The choreographer, Alessandra, she was born in Zimbabwe, but she was raised in Brussels. And then we have Joy, who is of, Surinamese, heritage, but she's a real Amsterdam girl.
Yes.
She was born and bred in Amsterdam. And we have Rosie, who just gave birth a few days ago.
Congrats, Rosie.
Congrats, Rosie. And she is originally from Cameroon.
Yes.
And they moved to Rotterdam when she was a young girl.
Yes.
And we have Jade Wheeler, who is, American, African American. And we have Andy, who is from, Rwanda, but also grew up in Brussels. And Mahina is from Congo. She also grew up in Brussels.
Yes.
And Denise Jana is a beautiful, jazz singer from, originally from Suriname, but she lives now in Holland. So it was all these black women.
Of African heritage.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just understand each other, you know? You might be from anywhere, but black women getting together, magic happens.
And celebrating a great black woman.
Exactly.
But I'm sure from what you're telling me in this circumstance, they must have also relied on you quite a lot to enlighten about certain things.
Most certainly in the beginning. I mean, we all did our own research about Winnie Mandela.
Yes.
In the beginning, yes. But, you know, like I say, somebody like Winnie Mandela was, you know, I don't want to use the word hero, but in a way.
A global icon.
She was a global icon, not only to us, South Africans, you know. There's many, many people out there who have looked at her life and sympathized with what she went through, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not just a global icon, but also, you know, one of those that represents women, if you like, the universal aspect of women.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's hear another song, and this one you've chosen, because I don't know what to choose. There's so many tutu songs that I could play, but, you know, play them on another day. But this one is Khlompha Bophelo. Why did you choose this one?
I guess I chose this one because I sing this one in my mother tongue.
Yes.
And it's really special for me to come home and sing in my mother tongue and have people understand what I'm singing.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I mean, they appreciate it in Europe, but it's a different response when people really truly, fully get what you were saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tutu Powani on the World Show. This one, Khlompha Bophelo, is also off her incredible award-winning album, Quiet Now, on the World Show. Yes, Tutu Powani. How absolutely beautiful. Khlompha Bophelo of her album Quiet Now on Kaya 959. And of course she's with us in the studio. You know, the next thing I wanted to ask you, even listening to that, I can see that reference, if I put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've noticed this about your work, is that there's a thread in your work that pays homage to so many great women artists.
Yeah.
I want to put it that way.
Yeah.
Is that something you've consciously done, or has it just happened naturally? Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, both is natural, but has it been conscious or?
Yeah, it has definitely been conscious. I have had the opportunity of people approaching me. Also, for example, the Brussels Jazz Orchestra approached me and said, listen, we want to do a project with you. And how about we do a project around South African music? So I started researching music, looking for music on paper.
Yes.
And I found that it was extremely hard to find music on paper. So thank you, Billy Munama, for writing a book, for putting stuff on paper. But the only music I could find on paper was the music of Miriam Makeba. She has this beautiful book that I'm an owner of. I don't know how many people have this book in the world, but I found it. I don't remember how I found it online, but I found this great book that has a lot of the songs that she sang are written out on paper, which made my life easier because then I didn't have to go down. But I mean, the music of Miriam Makeba is very easy to write down. You know, it's not complicated music.
But I'm sure it brought you ideas of songs that you might not have considered.
Yes, for sure. Yes, you know, you think you know Miriam Makeba, but you don't know until you go and start digging that there is so much music that I was unaware of, you know.
Yes.
And it was thanks to the Brussels Jazz Orchestra that asked me to do a project around South African music. I was going to take all kinds of music from different kinds of people. But, it was just, kind of easier to just, go with one person. And we did a tribute to Umama Miriam Makeba, and they took these songs, these very simple songs, and they arranged them for
with
big bands.
With a big band,
and it just turned into something.
With a jazz orchestra,
not just
a big band, a jazz orchestra.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it turned out to be something truly, truly remarkable. I am still very, very proud of that project.
In fact, you've continued working with the Brussels Jazz Orchestra on different projects, it seems like.
It's just you know, living at the right place at the right time, I guess.
But also having a gift and bringing I think something very unique,
right?
Because I think people also don't realize a place like Belgium, it's not just Brussels, Antwerp as well, has a very strong African community.
Yes.
And a lot of awareness, and even the African Museum.
Yes.
And various things. So there is that awareness, about, Africa, I suppose. And
it's just not that very easily translatable into the jazz world.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So I am, I hope there's someone else, but as far as I know, there's like two of us right now. There's a beautiful, percussion player from where? I think he's from Benin or something. I think he might be from Benin.
Yes.
He's the only other African jazz musician I know of in Belgium.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
okay,
the rest
so
of the
a lot of them are playing African music.
They play African music. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. You don't find a lot of us in Belgium. Let me say yes. In Belgium, because Belgium is very tiny. It's yes. a very tiny scene. You don't find a lot of us in the jazz genre.
Yes.
They are there, but they play their own stuff. They
yes.
play, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, so I guess, yeah, like I say, being fortunate and being in the right place, that they are open to hearing what we have to offer,
yes,
and merging it with jazz. So
yes,
yeah,
yes, beautiful.
It was beautifully done for the Mama Africa project that we did with yes. the Brussels Jazz Orchestra.
But also looking at your repertoire, and again, that's why I referenced that, and you've spoken now about Mary Makeba, but also you've done songs of Letambulu, you've done songs of, or let me just go back and think, Spongile Kamalo was a very important person in
yeah.
your, tell us about your relationship with Spongile, because I think she was almost another mother to you.
She really was. I mean, she could have been my mother-in-law, but that's another story we're not going to go into.
Let's talk music.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. No, I met her like in my first year of university in Cape Town, and we stayed friends throughout all these years, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
I'm so incredibly fortunate that
she mentored that, you.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Pretty much, you know.
Yes.
She would make fun of me. There was a show we did years ago where I was one of her backing singers, and I would come ready to go on stage, and she would look at me and she's like, "And where's your makeup?"
Yes.
And I'd be like, and she was like, "Go back to the dressing room and put some lipstick, at least some lipstick on, you know. You're not going to sell potatoes at the corner. You come into stage, you know."
Yes.
So she used to tease me about that. Yeah, we had a lovely, lovely relationship.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And again, just to complete that little bit, and I was hoping we would have time for two more songs, but we'll only have time for one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll play the others next week and the week after and so
all
on.
Right.
But also, again, coming back to that, for me, when I look at your repertoire, you've got, you know, you've got songs written by other people, you've got a very broad a repertoire as well, but you somehow always seem to make a point of acknowledging those that have come before
us,
through
yeah.
your music.
Because I'm a strong believer in that. I'm a strong
yes.
believer in you know, respecting and paying tribute to the ones that paved the way for us, you know.
And not only the artists, but the great songs too.
Yes, for
you
sure.
Know, yes, like yeah. as I said, one of them I'd hoped to play was Not Yet Uhuru.
Yeah.
And the Tutupowani takes it to another plane altogether. You know, and you do, you rearrange them and you interpret them
yeah.
in your own ways.
Yeah.
So I think the song we're going to end with is another tribute. But before I mention that, please tell us, you've got a couple more gigs.
I do. I have two more shows before we leave South Africa. We leave next week Monday. So on Thursday, we have one last intimate duo gig, my husband and I, at Liano, 81 De Korte Street. And tickets are available at Quicket for 250. And you can have dinner
yes.
if you like. And then
so it's a duet. That's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We love to play in duet.
Just,
it's,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Something special. Yes.
Yeah. And, on Saturday, we are at the Walter Sisulu Botanical Gardens with the Jazz Queens. The lineup is myself, Nomfundo Kaluva, and Her Own Skin. And, this is organized by the good sister, Notemba Madumo. So
yes.
tickets for that one are also 250, and you can get those ones at web tickets. But type in the Jazz Queens for on the search engine.
And that, I imagine, is more of an afternoon kind
yes,
of event.
Yes, that's going to start at 12 o'clock
yes.
until 6 o'clock. I think Her Own Skin is going to start at 12, and I'm on at 2 o'clock. And Nomfundo Kaluva will be on at 5 o'clock.
Beautiful. So get
yeah.
down to Liano in Bramfontein
yes.
on Thursday, and or the Botanical Gardens, Walter Sisulu,
yes.
on Saturday.
On Saturday.
And Tutu's not going to be back for a while, so you better make sure that you see her while she's here now. Absolutely beautiful. So we're going to end with a track. And, well, I wanted to play this tribute to Miriam, but I think Let's do the Joni Mitchell tribute. Mm. This one's River. Tell me about this project, Joni Mitchell Live is what the project. Tutu Puani sings Joni Mitchell Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I have loved Joni Mitchell since UCT. Yelena Revishin, who was a fantastic teacher at the UCT Music College, she introduced me to the music of Joni Mitchell. And I've discovered that you can actually, like a song like Both Sides Now, for example.
Yes.
It meant something different throughout my growing up. Like since I've been listening to that song since I was 19 years old till now as a 43-year-old woman, that one song has meant so many different things along the way as I've grown up.
Yes.
And that is the magic of Joni Mitchell, is that she has written a song in 1971
that you still,
and that has still has the same impact it
and
had
relevance.
And relevance and it will stay with you for the rest of your life, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one I wanted to play. Well, I don't know, because I wanted to play all of them. But I think, should I play River instead?
Sure. Any yes. Joni Mitchell is fine with me.
Okay. beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us on The World Show.
It has been my absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
And again, I feel like we only just started, so we'll have to catch up the next time you're in town.
For sure.
Or the next time I'm in Europe.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
For sure.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.